You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I checked the email. It is a giveaway day for us today, so let's do that now. Let's go caller 4. 713-780-3776. You want a pair of tickets to the Cougs versus K-State game. Stupid email. We get so many emails about giveaways that I just happen to click onto the
wrong one.
But we do have tickets to give away against Kansas State. Yes, we do. So if you want to go to the K-State game, Cougs, K-State on Saturday at 2:30, caller 4-713-780-3776. It'll be a night of thrilling plays, or an afternoon, hard-hitting action and unforgettable moments. It's a blackout day. So wear a black shirt, wear a black hat, wear black. The Cougs are going to be in their black uniforms. I saw them painting the end zones. They'll be black as well. The logo will be black. It's a time to see if the Cougs can win a second consecutive Big 12 game. They're playing better. Utah came to town. They beat them in their last game at home. Got a chance to follow it up with another win. It is their blackout special is a ticket and a t-shirt for just $30. To grab this deal, visit uhcougars.com/black. That's uhcougars.com/black. Come early, be loud, and wear black as they want you to pack TD ECU Stadium.
Wear black ski masks.
Well,
for when the Cougs steal a win.
They probably want your face exposed.
Okay. Well, when you're going through security.
That's the worst time to wear it.
No, put it in your pocket.
Yeah. Don't have it on. Well, have it on you, but not on your face.
Yeah.
Walk in there.
Ski mask.
I'm not sure.
For stealing a win.
I'm not sure they want it positioned that way. I'm just going to say wear black. That's what they ask you to do. And celebrate the Cougs and root them on as they try to beat Kansas State. Kansas State, good football team. They're competing for the Big 12 title. They are nationally ranked. I think they're certainly in the top 20. You got a chance for another upset. It'd be nice to see more progress. They've won two Big 12 games, trying to get to the third with K-State in town on Saturday. It's an interesting weekend in college football. We have not discussed it that much. We've kind of talked about what happened on Saturday and even earlier in the week, considering the Kyle McCord stuff and the Liberty stuff. But you got Oregon heading to Michigan. You got Ohio State heading to Penn State. And, of course, you have trying to think of the other big games.
We have another ranked matchup they haven't brought up yet.
Which game am I forgetting?
Two games involving ranked teams. 7 o'clock, Pittsburgh goes to SMU on the ACC network.
That's right.
To do battle to teams that I think are undefeated in the SEC. Is Pitt undefeated in the SEC?
They're both
The ACC?
They're both undefeated in the ACC, I believe.
And they're also
Pitt's undefeated overall. SMU hasn't lost to BYU, but they are a one-loss team. Pitt is an undefeated team. It's a shot to stake their claim to a ACC title berth. I think
it is one of the two games between ranked matchups,
but because of
the other one is 4 versus 3,
the blatant lack of respect for the ACC, it winds up on ACC network.
Yeah,
More to do with Pitt, the name Pitt in SMU, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think if this was Florida State and Clemson, it probably would have been on ESPN.
Well, that game was on ESPN and Florida State's terrible. So, yes, you're right. You are right, yes. You are,
they don't even have to be good.
You're absolutely correct. That was
Florida State. What channel is Florida State playing on? Oh, they're playing on the ACC network.
Well, they deserve it this week. They're playing North Carolina.
Yeah, UNC.
Yeah. Mac Brown's never beaten Florida State. This is probably his last chance. Is Mac Brown coming back next year?
Yeah, come on.
Really?
Four more years.
They're not sick of
four
him.
Four more years.
Sure, if you don't like UNC, you would be chanting that.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, you don't care. I understand why you're saying it. But he's never beaten them. That's 2 10-year at UNC. Florida State has had his number. And he's going to try to get a win in a game that they should win. But Mac Brown doesn't always win games he should win.
Yeah, I will say Florida State, for a 1-7 team, they make you work for it.
Yeah.
Unless you're actually good, then you don't. Well, but if for like the, you know, kind of mid ACC teams, which is what UNC is, you have to bring your A game.
You have to
or your B game.
Or their quarterback falls on his face and just turns the ball over in 3 straight plays. That's how Duke won their game. Yeah, even in the game on Saturday, Miami didn't punt very much, but it was long drawn out drives and they forced some field goals. That's why the game was close until like into the fourth quarter. Well, close in the way that it was a 2-score game, but no one ever thought Florida State was going to win that game.
Yeah.
But they kept making those drives, 10, 12 plays. We're not going to let you beat us over the top. Run the football, which Miami was able to do. So there's a real shot for them to win that game. The problem for them, as it has been all year long, how many points can you expect? They got to 14. One of them was in garbage time, and the other one was on apparently was going to be a fake. It wasn't. They weren't even going to run the fourth down play, the sneak that turned into a 40-yard scamper. Mm. It was supposed to try to draw Miami off sides, and they would have called a timeout. But because of how bad they are on the offensive line, the guy snapped it anyway, surprised everyone, and then the quarterback scrambled for a first down. That's how awful they were on offense, that the best play of the game was something that could have turned into a disaster because no one was expecting the snap.
That's
Florida State football this year.
That's
yeah. And if Mike Norvell didn't trick them into thinking Alabama wanted him, he'd be fired. Because even coming off a 13, you hear everyone talk about them, even coming off a 13-1, this is a fireable season because of how embarrassing
they're
it is.
1-7.
Yes.
I don't think, like, I'm startled every time I see it, either on during one of their games or on ESPN when they're talking about the matchup. And by the way, they're talking about it less and less now. But every time I see that, I'm like, how are they still just have one win? You look at their schedule, you're like, I've watched at least parts of a lot of these games. I don't know how they lose all of them.
At this point, the 1-7 is more embarrassing for Cal than it is for Florida State. You're the one team who couldn't find a way. It's not like Florida State had an explosion on offense. Cal could put nothing up, and Cal's one of those teams who is always in close games, and they finally got one. I think they had a blowout over the weekend. I don't remember exactly how that final score went. But so, yes, all we're really talking about and thinking about is, can Mac Brown win a game he should win when he's been predisposed to losing games like that throughout his UNC tenure?
And up next, I don't want to look past UNC if I'm Florida State.
Of course,
you know,
not.
Obviously. I know you have Mac Brown's number, but come on. Then next week they go to South Bend to play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So, 2-8 looks a lot better than 1-9. So get a win this week.
They do have like Charleston Southern, which a lot of people are pointing to as clearly their second win. Maybe. Yes.
Maybe their third. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be their third. And UNC is the place they can get it.
And then Florida. I don't think they beat Florida.
No, Florida, despite their record, all their losses are to top 15 teams. And they were competitive against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Probably should have won that game and maybe would have won the game if Graham Mertz doesn't get hurt celebrating a touchdown.
Yeah. And they'll have another loss to a top 15 team this week. They play Georgia.
Yeah, the cocktail party, yeah.
Yeah.
So Florida, they're going to have a lot of good losses. Normally that would work in the SEC, except there's too many of them.
you haven't won.
Yeah, you haven't won enough. Like two good losses is great in the SEC. You got a real shot to make a playoff.
Four?
Mm. Four is stretching it. Stretching it.
Also, one of them's to an ACC team, so that's actually not a good loss.
Despite what the ACC team is, you're right, though. You lost to what now is a top five team at home. Bad loss for Florida.
You lost to a team that had to come back to beat Cal, the only team to lose to Florida State.
So if we're going to do the transitive property, yes, it's an awful loss for Florida, no matter what you think about.
You basically lost to Florida State.
I mean, at this point, you might actually lose to Florida State, but you've already lost to them.
There's no way they lose to Florida State.
Don't say there's no way they lose to Florida State. That's in Tallahassee.
I think Florida wins. If DJ Lagway plays, they win.
He better. They don't have anyone else, really.
That's why.
I don't
want some walk-on to come in. I'm like, yeah. I guaranteed this win.
Throw in the caveat. There it is. But don't ever underestimate Billy Napier and his ability to.
But I'm not estimating Mike Norvell.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that either. He doesn't have Jordan Travis on his roster, so he's pretty much cooked. But I've seen Billy. I don't trust him.
Are they going to start calling Mike Norvell like AAC Mike? Like they call Billy Napier Sun Belt
they
Billy?
Can't because of winning the ACC last year. They can't get that off. They might call him, I don't know. There's something to do with one win that they might be able to do if he goes 1-11.
Mike, but when the I is a one.
Yeah, and the L's are one,
like
too.
Like it's R2-pack.
I mean, the L's fit, but if you want to change the Norvell, the double L's and Norvell to ones, too, you can do that, too. Or just turn them into capital L's.
Yeah, or Norvell, but with, seven L's.
No, it's 12. No, it's 11. Just Norvell.
Every game they lose.
You can do that. You could do that like it's K's. Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of we'll get into more college football tomorrow, but kind of piqued my interest after giving away those tickets to think about the weekend. Oregon, they go to Ann Arbor. Don't think they're under much threat there. Jack Tuttle has retired, I believe.
Yes.
So it's now up to Alex Orji and
Davis Warren.
Oof. What a quarterback room Michigan had. How did that happen? Oh, I know how it happened. Jim Harbaugh left.
Why?
Late.
How are
they in this position?
They won the national championship.
They tricked themselves into believing Alex Orji was going to be good. But instead, if you're going to do that, you have to go all in. I said it before. Now you don't have the guy to implement the system, but you have Alex Orji. Turn yourself into Oregon. Not this version, the one with Darren Thomas and Kenyon Barner and LaMichael James. Turn yourself into that spread option, run, and use the run to dupe defenders and throw it behind them. Because it's not like Orji's going to function in a timing offense, but if he can trick a guy into coming up and you can run a guy behind a safety, maybe you can make some plays there, but... No, they weren't going to completely change the way they do things. They tried to kind of mismatch how their offense would be, and it has turned out poorly. But they did beat Michigan State.
They did beat Michigan
State. So congratulations to them. Well on their way to making a bowl, Michigan.
They still can brag about beating Ohio State the last 3 years.
And Colston Love, that's true. They got a couple more weeks for that.
They have three more weeks to brag
about. And of course,
actually, no, like a month.
Yeah, that's the last game, late November. And Colston Loveland, the Michigan tight end, after they beat Michigan State, he got into a bit of a scrap on the final plays, and he dropped Little Bro on them. Going back to the Mike Hart days of calling them Little Bro. It is what it is.
I mean.
Is anybody from Texas going to do that if they beat A&M? We calling A&M Little Bro?
That's disrespectful to Mike Elko and the program that he's built.
And Texas would never do that.
No.
They would never disrespect A&M.
Not Mike Elko.
I am so thrilled that game's going to mean something. It's perfect. It
always means something, Dale.
Sure, just like Miami, Florida State meant something last week. Sure.
All those kids that played against each other growing up.
We had this discussion. Like, 8 of Miami's starting 11 defenders are not from the state of Florida.
Just everyone know. Everyone just take note of the trajectory of the programs in Florida.
Yes.
And while you're taking note, I will be... looking at some transfers to come in and take your spot.
Talk about all these recruits that he's... You mean all the recruits are just going to bring in transfers to play over?
The good ones we'll keep.
Sure.
We'll keep Reuben Bain around.
Well, that's...
For one more year until he goes to the draft.
That's a good choice by Mario. But, yes, Texas A&M, I'm glad it's back. I'm glad it's going to mean something, mostly because of everything that's going to come out of it. The game is like secondary to me. honestly, win or lose, I don't care who wins or loses. Actually, we're the Aggie station, so I care that the Aggies win. But no matter what happens, all the talk, the tears, the shame, the trash talk, it's perfect. And if it means a spot in the SEC title game, even better. Give it to me. We can't, yeah, sorry. I'm blanking on his name. Justin Tucker. Sorry, Justin Tucker. Your moment is done. It's over.
Case Keen or Case McCoy, too?
No. Who remembers Case McCoy in that game besides Texas people?
Great
scram. Justin Tucker is the one everyone remembers. Yeah. But it's over. That moment is over. We're back to games meaning something again.
It is crazy that that's – I mean, this is going to be nuts. That's the last time they played.
Over
like
a decade
that
ago.
That long ago? We're talking about Justin Tucker.
And maybe the first game back could mean almost everything.
Yeah. Like, think about how many games they could have played in the middle where
nothing would
a
matter.
Bowl game was at stake.
Now it's yeah.
A spot at the Texas Bowl was at stake.
For one of the two teams, yeah. And now we're talking about a spot in the SEC title game. Look at that.
Look at us.
Who would have thought? Certainly, I wouldn't have thought about A&M. Credit to Mike Elko, who has not made a decision on whether it'll be Marcel Reed or
don't make the decision.
Connor Wegman.
There's a chance that DC just doesn't prepare for one
or either. He goes, I don't know who to prepare for.
Yeah.
So I won't prepare for any of them.
I'll just choose the wrong one.
So he's learned the lesson of all of what we've been like you know, dummies like us trolling about. Hey, you know what's best for A&M? For the opponent not to know who's playing.
Yeah, just switch them every week.
Because generally when that happens, they have a great game, but when they know who's going to play, particularly when Connor Wegman's a starter, things go poorly. This time, Elko's leaning in. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Is there any chance Wegman starts that game?
There's a chance. A chance.
Yes, it's true, but I can't imagine. Not after all the juice from that game, Marcel Reed. You throw Wegman in there, it's like a wet blanket. Or maybe we get... Maybe Elko loves himself some Steve Spurrier, where we're not even just shifting quarterbacks per drive. We're doing it per play.
That's the way to do
Give me some of that.
That's the way to do it.
Honor the man who was synonymous with the SEC for all those years.
Reed comes in, run for 5 yards, second and five. All right, bring in Connor Wegman, incomplete pass. Cool, back to the sideline. Reed,
give it
another,
to me.
Another run for 5 yards, first down.
This is what I'm looking for.
Wegman, another incomplete pass. There's going to be a theme here.
You keep leaning into something that I'm noticing.
When you need an incomplete pass, Wegman, come on in.
But they won't be ready for him, so he'll be great, like Mizzou wasn't.
Yeah.
All right, so A&M hasn't made a decision at starter. No one believes Connor Wegman starting that game. But Mike Elko, you do you. You can do no wrong, at least right now. Don't lose to South Carolina, though. It's the thing. He even mentioned it. He was talking about how much the 12th man, a reporter asked him and brought up the fact that the 12th man is behind him and so on and so forth. He goes, yeah, and I won 7 games, too. I'm not naive. I know what this is. I'm winning games. He knows.
Yeah, he should be like, I was an assistant under Jimbo Fisher. I know.
I know what happens when a head coach loses games.
I know how this can turn out for me.
Yeah. As much as the good feeling persists with A&M, don't go losing to South Carolina on a Saturday night, particularly if you do play the wrong quarterback, whoever anyone thinks that is.
100%, if they lose another game this season, what we're going to do is, after the game, be like, they played the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That's just what we're going to do now.
I will not say that if Marcel Reed loses a game. I have said... For all year, I don't believe in Connor Wegman.
Okay.
So if Marcel Reed loses a game and he plays poorly, I'm going to be like, you know what?
He can't do it all himself.
Yeah.
Receivers need to get open.
I'm not going to blame anyone, so my narrative will stay strong. But I will say, that's the game. The game that it is what it is. Sometimes it happens. Your young quarterback plays poorly. But if he plays Connor Wegman, I am definitely blaming him for that decision. We're the home of the Aggies, by the way. You can hear them. Saturday night against the South Carolina Gamecocks in Columbia. The Gamecocks coming off a bye. It's a dangerous spot. Josh Pate, who joined John and Lance earlier today, said he thinks South Carolina's going to get him. We will see. And he'll be in Happy Valley for Penn State, Ohio State. So as Sean mentioned.
He should have been in Dallas for Pitt SMU, but okay.
Why? So he can be like one of 30,000 people in that building?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a big game. There'll
be Josh
people
Pitt
there.
Day.
It'll be Sunday. It'll be Saturday night. It's a big game. People will show up. Will it be a sellout? It is Pitt, so who knows? All right. I would say we are way late, but Sean will just come by.
We're right on time.
We're right on time. He'll just come by, and we will be right on time. When we come back, we will hear from C.J. Stroud on the absence of Stephon Diggs for the rest of the year. We'll also get into some numbers for Jalen Green. It is certainly small sample size theater for him. It's only been four games, so these numbers can dip drastically. But right now, if you just look at it, they're all numbers playing like one of the best two guards in the game. And I'll get into something I mentioned way back on Monday. There is a potential star that, if he's available, rival execs say the Rockets would be in on him. And I'll get Sean's opinion on that. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
We were talking about Georgia, Florida. We'll get to the C.J. Stroud sound here. But that game will take a two-year hiatus from Jacksonville because the Jags are renovating their stadium. And instead of putting it on the campuses of Georgia and Florida for a year, they are going to move the first game in 2026 to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta and then move the second game to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So they're going to stick with the NFL stadium thing and try to make it a neutral site for both, but still play it in the state of one. Now, obviously Georgia's never got the chance to play it in their own state, but we know Georgia people travel. This was a clear chance to, for just two times, put that game in the swamp and put it in Athens. It's just twice. I know I'm sure there's money considerations and the game has consistently not had a home field advantage, but switch it up a little bit. You know what? Maybe both teams will like it. Maybe both schools will like it and it becomes a thing going forward. But instead, it'll be in an NFL stadium twice, which I think college football gets hurt by that, but I understand the tradition of putting it there in Jacksonville because it's been there forever. Get it. But you had a chance to put that game on campus for both schools, and they're not going to do it.
Especially because it's 2 years.
It's not. Yeah,
If it was three, if it was one, I can see why you don't. Yeah. But
each team would get a chance to host that game for the first time. I'm sure it's happened before I was alive. But since I've been alive and was conscious of football, it's always been in that. Well, what was once dilapidated, now they're trying to update it. Stadium.
That's the
Gator,
whole point.
The Gator Bowl, yeah.
They're trying to undilapidate it.
Yeah, so I think they missed out on a chance for something pretty cool. But oh well, money always wins, and I'm sure in some cases, some members of those schools didn't want to have a game on the road. So we move on from that. Okay, C.J. Stroud never had to play a neutral site game against his rival. That game was always in Michigan or at Ohio State. And he spoke yesterday because it's a short week, so he spoke yesterday. But also, we wanted to hear from him in regards to losing Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs had a lot of stuff surrounding him coming into this season. What would he be like as a teammate? Well, C.J. Stroud spoke to what he has been and what he brings to the table and how he will be missed.
It sucks. You know, it's not easy. It's not, you know, something that I just can have a whole bunch of words for. I just hoping, you know, and just trying to just wrap my mind around, you know, what happened. But it's tough, you know. You can't really try to think positively about it, but you know, it's not a bunch of positive thoughts. And I just really feel bad for him. You know, he's worked extremely hard. He's I think he was having one of the, you know, the best times he's ever had on a team. At least that's what he told us. You know, so you know, I just feel for him and praying for him. You know, and just hoping, you know, that, you know, he keeps his head up high and, you know, he'll bounce back even stronger. So, you know, it just sucks.
CJ sounds a little down. It'll just be him and Tank out there, and Mechie and Woods will be out there too. But throw Hutchison in there as well. Not exactly the thought we had going into the year that, at least for a game, the Texans wide receiver core would be whittled down to those guys. All that 7-1-3 stuff, the Nico Collins emergence. You get pretty thin pretty quickly, and I know people were discussing how deep the Texans' offensive weapons were, even beyond the top three, and maybe suggesting that's why they shouldn't trade for a wide receiver. There's a reason guys like Hutchinson and Mechie have been afterthoughts. Like, if one of those guys had emerged even last year, do they make a trade for Stephon Diggs? Maybe, but if you have full confidence in a third wide receiver, maybe you're not making that trade. Now, those guys get elevated into spots where they're at worst the two or three or four. I mean, wherever you want to put Robert Woods. I feel like it's going to be a big mixing day, a big mixing night at least. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Quinnen Williams,
I think
Quincy Williams.
I think Tinktail's got something for Sauce Gardner. There's not very much of them to hold, so Sauce Gardner might not be able to grab them.
You make a point that I love, old grabby ass Sauce Gardner. That man got treated like an all pro, as a rookie. They just let him to grab anyone. We don't care. You want to grab star receivers? We're good. And it led to him having a really good year. He's a good corner, but he's very grabby. And the officials have decided. The officials aren't even like, we can't throw flags on all of them. Like, I think there was one primetime game where he got hit with a lot of them this year. I forgot what game it was. But for the most part, in his career, Sauce Gardner has taken the approach. They can't call holding on all these. And the fact the officials are like, we're not going to call holding on any of them.
Yeah.
For the most part. It did happen once this year where Reed and Gardner got crushed with flags. And they were shocked because, hey, you don't do that. You don't call flags on us. And I was shocked, too. I've watched enough of those guys get away with grabbing guys and nothing being called. Trust me, Texans fans, Tank Dell's going to get grabbed a lot. And they're going to make the officials throw flags. Just think, if you had a full complement of receivers, all those guys would be complaining about being held, because that's what the Jets DBs like to do. Now, they may not have to worry about it so much. It may be only Tank that they do that with. I don't think they are worried about Hutchinson or Woods or Mechie running by him. It's unfortunate that the Texans are so under a man when it comes to their wide receivers, because this was a matchup and a game where I would favor them if I thought they had enough. I just don't think they have enough.
If Diggs was still healthy,
I would probably even be concerned with Diggs. I think Nico's.
Nico's
the guy.
Nico, no Diggs.
Nico, no good. Diggs and Tank. I feel way better. I don't know if I would lean win, because there's still the Quinnen Williams versus Kenyon Green and the rest of that interior of the Texans thing.
Kenyon Green's ready to roll. Thank you very much.
I was told that, yes. So you're ready.
Be positive.
I was told he was ready to roll, but I also have my human eyes. I have ears, and I heard D'Amico, but I also saw the end product for Kenyon Green on Sunday.
They won six games with Kenyon, all right?
They won six games while Kenyon was there. They didn't win six games because of Kenyon. He happened to be there while it was happening.
He was on the field.
Yeah. True. Kenyon ain't the same as like a passenger quarterback.
Oh, bus rider?
He's a I don't know if you can call an offensive lineman a bus rider. Because if they're bad, I guess Kenyon would fit. He's bad. We know he's bad, and they still win games. He's kind of a bus rider offensive lineman. He happens to be on the bus. At least when it comes to pass protection.
Yeah. Yeah. Because all the peekaboo stuff that they do. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Kenyon Green on the mobile there. I would ask that he be a better crossing guard then. If he's going to be near buses or around buses, be a better crossing guard for your driver.
No, because crossing, yeah.
Be a better crossing guard for your driver.
Yeah.
Make sure he can get through traffic easy. Hold off oncoming traffic.
I mean, that's the hard part, is that he has to stop people.
Is he going to hold off oncoming traffic enough for your bus driver to do his job?
I feel like the wave is the only move he has.
The only problem is he's not putting up a hand to stop the other guys who are coming through. He's waving CJ through, but not stopping Quinnen Williams and others.
Just...
He's waving and not looking and going, oh, wait a minute. there's another thing I'm supposed to be doing here. That's the problem. We joke because we care.
Mm.
And if we didn't joke, we'd be a lot more brutal, I think. So we're just going to make crossing guard jokes, because if we didn't, it'd be a different. It'd feel a little different here.
Yeah, yeah. If we actually watched the All 22 and were actually watching how bad,
no,
like,
we feel
play
great about
it.
They think they watch the All 22 and talk about how many plays he does make.
That is true. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe we're being too mean for the guy that they benched in the middle of the game and only had to put back in because Jared Patterson got hurt. Yeah, but maybe we're being mean.
Yeah, we're crossing the line. You didn't want him to play anymore. There was a report.
You benched him.
There was a report of the quarterback coach yelling at him to get it together. Not his O-line coach, by the way. Where the hell are you, Strouser?
Well, there's three offensive line coaches. So.
There's an assistant offensive line coach, the head offensive line coach, and then Gerard Johnson as an assistant to the assistant offensive line coach.
He was the only one yelling.
Mostly because, hey, you're killing my guy.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Protect my quarterback. We're just asking for competency. I'm not asking for Kenyon Green to be great.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's possible, particularly in this matchup. Be competent.
Yeah, because you can have, like, one, but like, subpar. Like, just below average. Don't be actively bad.
Yeah,
just
you can make up for a average to below average offensive lineman. You can do things.
If he's playing right next to Larry Dunsell, you'd think
you could find a way to make do. But if he is so completely bad that you can't even get there to help him, we got a problem.
Big problem. Hopefully Quinn Williams doesn't get a good night's sleep or something.
You want him to be – what? Will it make him angrier or tired?
Nah, just groggy.
Groggy. Yeah. Hey, take some melatonin before the game.
Or you know, he's thinking about the Halloween party or something, just distracted, you know.
It's New York City. The party's going to be great.
Yeah. Think about, like, oh, am I going to be the only one dressed up?
Well, is my brother going to screw me over again? Is Quincy going to do something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are they going to be – I don't know. Thing one and thing two, or I don't know what brother costumes they can do.
Stepbrothers, maybe they'll do something. I don't know, but I mentioned Quincy because he's a problem too. He's a guy. He has a celebration you're gonna hate.
That's Shaq Mason's problem.
If Quincy Williams is making plays in linebacker, he does a thing where he makes a play behind the line of scrimmage, then he does this big celebration that a lot of the other Jets players get in on when they're playing well, which hasn't been the case. So they haven't done a lot of that this year. He's gonna be the guy you dislike a lot. Because he's exuberant, he's going to let you know about it. I'm going to need to not see Quincy Williams making any plays, mostly because I don't want to see that stupid celebration. I need competency from the offensive line, and then you got a chance to win the game. Do I expect competency? Are the Jets allowed to run stunts?
Because of the Thursday night, you shouldn't be allowed to. Short week?
It's true. It's a short week. Not a lot of prep time. You shouldn't be allowed to run stunts. That should be a rule.
BS.
Of all the rules... That we've discussed, no stunts on Thursday nights.
No, a holiday too
for player safety. No stunts.
Player safety.
That's right.
Player safety.
Put that rule in place.
I think I've exclusively talked about how the Texans will block the Jets and a little bit the receivers.
The Jets aren't going to block the Texans, by the way.
I was going to say we have not talked a single second about what Aaron Rodgers
is
going to
do. In fact, we should play that sound coming back. Devon Godshaw, who is a Patriot, they helped author that embarrassing loss for the Jets. He talked about how Aaron Rodgers ain't the same dude getting away, which means really good things for Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and the rest of the Texans. So while C.J. Stroud may be under siege because of a bad offensive line, the Jets' offensive line is average at best, and their quarterback ain't mobile, not what he once was, which gives the Texans a real shot to up those pressure numbers, up those sack numbers, and make Aaron Rodgers as miserable as Quinnen Williams and Hassan Reddick may make C.J. Stroud. So we'll talk about that. We'll hear from him when we come back, or Devon Godshaw about Aaron Rodgers when we come back. We'll also talk a little bit about what Jalen Green has done and what player may be on the Rockets' radar before we wrap up the show. But before we get to all that, let's talk about MyBookie. Thursday night is risk-free Thursdays, which means you bet. And if you don't win, it doesn't cost you anything. You get your refund. And, of course, if you do win, you take home that money. MyBookie ain't against helping you guys out. They have their tiered programs. It's a loyalty program where the more you bet, the more chances you have to win prizes. Always good. And the website is mybookie.ag to check it all out. From the NFL to college football to international soccer, we got MLS soccer. The playoffs are going on right now. Dynamo in the playoffs. Take a look. See what catches your eye. Maybe you want to place a bet on the hometown team. in the MLS playoffs. I give you all these things because of that tagline. You should know, bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. And use that promo code BET975. That promo code allows you to sign up. And, of course, remember, they match up to $1,000. So if you deposit $200, you get to play with $400. Why not take advantage of that? Go to mybookie.ag where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Texans have a compromised quarterback, mostly because he's old and he has the Achilles. And he's not moving the way he once was, which would seem to benefit the Texans as they're going to try to make Aaron Rodgers miserable. Here's Devon Gottschall, defensive tackle for the Patriots, on what he saw from Aaron Rodgers on Sunday.
The Keon talked about was that Rodgers didn't seem as mobile as he's been.
Yeah, I think he's struggling right now. You know, just a Hall of Fame quarterback like that, just, you know, hate to see him go out that way, but, you know, always going to take a win against him, you know, build your, on your resume. But, yeah, he definitely don't look the same. You just don't look like he kept move back there. I can run him down and catch him. He don't look mobile at all, you know, so. It was good for us, you know. We know we can get after him and attack him in the passing game, too. So, you know, I'm glad to come out here with a win.
So, if you are looking to even what is going on out there, because we suspect that the Texans are going to have issues protecting their quarterback, you have a compromised quarterback with a okay offensive line. They're not good. And you've got two of the premier pass rushers in football and a really good defensive coordinator. This is your shot. Because the Jets' weapons, they're good, but it doesn't matter if you can't get them the football. So that would be the plan. And, of course, you got to deal with Breece Hall. Breece Hall is a back, I won't say underutilized, but they have him and they have Braylon Allen. They're two talented backs that we kind of discount because the Jets are terrible. But if the Jets were even okay, we will be talking a lot about those two guys because they're a really good duo. Braylon Allen's big and fast, and you can say that about Breece Hall. He's just a smaller, faster version of Braylon Allen, honestly. But two big-time backs that the Texans are going to have to deal with. We'll see with Henry Toa back. I don't think Azeez Ashir is going to play, but Toa's out of concussion protocol, so you have one of your starting linebackers back.
I can't wait for, no matter how this game goes, really, for afterwards to be like, you know, this is the perfect time for the mini bye week that you get after playing on Thursday night.
Sure,
because
yeah.
This really is the Texans have reached the point of the season that most NFL teams reach where it's just everyone's hurt. Everyone's hurt. You're having to depend on guys where in August, if we had told ourselves that we're going to have to depend on them, we would all be like, I'm not sure I love that. Wait, the Texans have started who at linebacker for the last two games, three games?
How's Devin White on this team?
Yeah, Devin
White. I thought he was going to start for the Eagles.
Devin White's on this team?
Yeah.
What'd they trade for him? Oh, nothing?
He didn't play a snap for the Eagles, and now he's with us. Great,
yeah.
I guess?
Yeah, it's a very, again, whether or not they win, I think the week off or, you know, 10 days between their next game, that is going to be so huge. So huge for the Texans. Not just Nico Collins, Azeez Ashir, the guys that are out there playing that aren't hurt or aren't on the injury report or aren't out. Just they're just so much. You just need to get through this game. I maybe we're both just expecting losses. So this is how my mindset has turned into, where it's just like, hey, listen. It's going to be a close one. I don't think the Jets can, or I don't think they're capable
of running away with
Minnesota Vikingsing this. So just, hey, it'll be a game in the fourth quarter. Try to make some plays. You have the better quarterback. And then hopefully you're getting at least two starters back. Maybe you're making a trade for an offensive line. Like the next week's team, the Week 10 version of the Texans, I feel like is going to be better than the Week 9 version.
The only problem for that is the Week 10 version is seeing the Lions. So
yeah, well, you know.
And I only bring
extra
it up,
time to prepare.
I only bring that up because 6-2, you feel pretty good. You drop to 6-3, and now you're staring 6-4 in the face. Not that it should matter in this division, but all of a sudden you go from a 2 seed to maybe your 4 seed in a matter of weeks, simply because of how the schedule sets up for you. So that's why this game is really, really big. We know they don't do well against the NFC North unless they're playing a rookie quarterback in a second start.
I forgot about the NFC North. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, this one's at home, so we will see if that makes a difference. But they're going against, at this point, the best team in football. So winning and getting the 7-2, and then the Lions game can be like, you know what? Great if we win it. If not, no big deal. So that's how the schedule can play out for you, and the feeling on this team can turn really quickly. You talk about having extra time to prepare. They're going to need it. The Lions are nuts right now.
Prepare for all the offensive linemen that they're going to throw to.
And the way they're going to manipulate you with the play action, all the things. It's going to be a test.
Yeah.
The best team they've played all year long. Okay, let's get to this before we wrap it up. Jalen Green's numbers. I talked about it early, and I talked about it before we went to break here. They're impressive. He's up near 29 points per game, and he is a guy who has been tricky from three. He's had two good games from three and two off ones. But the numbers, the counting numbers are impressive. 36, 29, 22, and 28. He's been a guy who, if we're just looking at four games, you would say this is what we're looking for from a guy who has everything to prove this year despite getting a new deal. You credit him for being the explosive scorer that he's expected to be. I called it small sample size theater in the notes because he put up those numbers against the Spurs in his last game. He was shooting under like 40% from three. The numbers weren't great from the field until he did it. That's what a one game sample size can do for you. So, but give him all the credit for right now. He is available, and let's just say missing shots isn't deterring him, which I don't think we questioned at all. So far so good for Jalen Green. I would like Alpi to pick it up a little bit. Through four games, he hasn't been what you would expect, but it's early. But that's just a bit of a progress report there. The Rockets are 2-2. The guy I mentioned that people, at least rival execs, are suggesting the Rockets are in on if he becomes available, is Jimmy Butler. Now, the Heat are 2-1. It's, once again, early. But that's the guy that rival execs think the Rockets would go after pretty hard if he becomes available. Now, the Heat don't have any interest in trading him. Jimmy Butler doesn't have any interest in being traded. But it's only October, and it is Jimmy Butler. You never know. So I guess be on the lookout for that. Keep rooting for a certain team in Miami to keep losing games, and maybe Jimmy Butler becomes available if you even want him, because he's going to want a big deal too. Okay, we're done for the day. I got to go get a laptop. Gallant and George are up.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.